Wake up. Wake up. All right. Out of the rack. It's a Monday. We're almost in April. It is Monday the 23rd. The draft is about a month away. Get up and mock yourself to death.
Hey, mock you, Larry. Mock you. Mock everybody this morning. Welcome. Welcome to Wake Up. It's great to have you here. He's Larry. I'm Damon. And a big welcome to you. Yeah, we are getting closer and closer to the moment that we're all waiting for this offseason, the upcoming NFL draft. We've got some Trent Williams news that, as far as I'm concerned, isn't the best news in the world to share with you today. But we do, Larry. I want to start with actually a tweet that I think you retweeted or quote tweeted or something. I think okay. I saw it from you.
Okay.
And it was about how Brock Purdy and to an extent, Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan really excelled on that quarterbacking down, that third down. It was Pro Football Sports Network says that NFL offenses with the highest conversion rates on third and fourth down in 2005 last year, with everything that is going wrong for the Niners last year, they were still number one in the NFL in that regard. They were 50.6. The Packers were 49.6. Chargers, Bills, Patriots, Rams were the 10th at 43%. But that efficiency, that Brock Purdy and Mac Jones give him full credit connection, Shanahan calling right plays on third down and fourth down. You know, Larry, I see this team in a situation where that offense can really level up this year. I mean, I like Mike Evans. I like the Christian Kirk signing. I think Tongas is going to be the best Kittle understudy that football doesn't even know about. You know, draft him on your fantasy team. Jake Tongas. I'm excited about the 49ers offense. I really, really am. I think it could level up. I think it could be absolutely nasty, especially if a guy like Jordan James starts to really round out the edges of the overuse of Christian McCaffrey, and you got another option there. Maybe they draft another option at running back. I'm really excited about the 49ers offense. And the one thing that could probably make me less excited would be if Trent Williams isn't here anymore. And we're going to get to that, but let's just start with how good they were on, you know, what you and I have famously called that quarterbacking down last year. Pretty impressive since they used two quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Brock Purdy, I mean, it probably is pretty frustrating to be a 49er, because when you don't play well, it's the quarterback. And when you do play well, or if when Mac Jones plays well, suddenly it's all Shanahan. It's all Shanahan. And people forget that non-Jimmy G quarterbacks were 9-29 under Shanahan when Purdy came off the bench against the Dolphins. So it's not like anybody can run this scheme. I do find it interesting, though, looking at those top percentages. Niners have Purdy and Jones last year. Packers had Jordan Love. Chargers had Herbert. Bills had Josh Allen. Pats had Drake May. Bengals had Joe Burrow. Colts had Daniel Jones for a good chunk of the year. Cowboys with Prescott. Bears with
Philip Rivers. They're Philip Rivers rejuvenation.
Well, there's a lot of good quarterbacks on that list. And yeah. What you don't see on that list? You don't see any of the crappy quarterbacks. Like, you don't see anybody that you're like, I don't know how good they are, or they, you know, I'm not really sure. You don't see them on the list. I mean, who's the worst quarterback on this list?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because I was almost looking at it from the other way. The name who's not on this list that really surprises me is Patrick Mahomes. Like stuck in the mud the Kansas City Chiefs were sort of offensively, and then of course gets hurt at the end of the year. But I'm surprised he wasn't on this list. But yeah, you're right. There's no bums here. It's about efficiency.
Well, I'm not saying it has nothing to do with the coach or the team, and it's all a quarterback stat. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to say that it is thought of generally when people are trying to hold quarterbacks' feet to the fire. They'll say, well, how'd he do on the quarterback down? How'd he do on third down? Or in a game where someone's trying to credit the quarterback, be like, well, hey, Brock really stepped up and he converted a lot of key third downs and kept us on the field. So, you know, in the post game, this is a quarterback thing. You know, so how come with some gigantic picture of Shanahan there? I just thought that was kind of funny, and I kind of pushed back on the picture of Shanahan. But
I think quote tweeted or something
where's Purdy? Where's Jones? I mean, isn't it ironic, Damon, that the 49ers in a year where, you know, you have an older Kittle, older CMC. You didn't have Ayuk. You didn't have Debo. Jennings was out a lot of the year. Juszczyk is 34 years old. Right. Your offensive line was thoroughly mid, if you want to even call it that. You couldn't
Pearsall was a massive under-contributor.
He didn't contribute. Your rookie fourth-round pick, speedsters for the last two drafts, gave you zero. And still the 49ers, you know, were great on third and fourth down. And then think about it this way, Damon. They were third and fourth. They were number one on third and fourth down conversion rates in a league where people think that Brock Purdy is being, you know, just along for the ride and Shanahan's the key to him. And you would have thought that Mac Jones played half the season, you know, that people would look at these numbers and that would add to his value. No, nobody traded for him and nobody gave the Niners their asking price. Now we don't know what their asking price was, but you would think if seven or eight teams needed a quarterback and you have one team that used their backup quarterback and was number one on third and fourth down conversions, you would think that quarterback would be coveted. He either is and the price tag's truly exorbitant, or he's not. And as the one guy that Matt Barrows quoted, one NFL executive said, well, is Shanahan coming with him? Like, in other words, Shanahan is key all, you know, to Mac Jones, and at least in that guy's eyes.
Look, I mean, I wouldn't ever try to make the argument that Shanahan wasn't the mastermind behind it all. Of course he is, but
his offense.
I just think that Mac Jones did enough, though, to stand out beyond just, you know, what he did with the 49. I mean, we saw him in a good situation, which is, it's negotiable how good that situation even was, like, for all the reasons that we went over. And you know, I think that is just such a frustrating thing. I mean, when you look at why haven't the Niners actually reached the top of the mountain yet, it's because they do so much with what is in reality kind of just average. If you can just get above average around Brock Purdy, and I think that Mike Evans is his best above average wide receiver that he will ever play with or has to this point in his career. I think that Kirk in the slot used correctly is going to reemerge as a weapon and maybe be one of the talks of the reclamation projects of the NFL. I think, you know, Kyle always gets a reclamation project every year, Larry. I don't think it's going to be quarterback this year. I think it's going to be Christian Kirk. I think he's going to be the guy that a lot of people are talking about, that Kyle saved his career. But as you and I talked about on Friday, we got a little snippy with each other on Friday. Nothing could take the air out of this balloon faster in my mind than walking away from Trent Williams. And they did not pick up his $10 million option on Friday. And the salary cap number is going to grow closer to $47 million. Lynch says that he's not overly concerned about it. He's still planning to rework the contract before the draft. Is that lip service? Is that real? It's hard to tell at this point. Jason LaCanfora, something that I saw just before we came on the air here, Larry, Kevin, I think, sent it to both of us.
Right.
Saying they aren't anywhere close to a deal with Trent Williams. I don't think anything happens unless the 49ers make a big move. Williams doesn't have much motivation to play for anything less than $33 million in cash that he is set to earn in 2026. The 49ers clearly aren't comfortable with that. Hence the renegotiation talks. Williams is acutely aware there is a robust market for his services as a free agent through trade. Again, the only thing that is wrong with Trent Williams is his age. He was the number one tackle, left tackle, in football last year until that ankle injury, you know, obviously removed him from the field when the Niners needed him late in the season. But he came back and he played, and all the evidence is in. The Niners' offense is just pure across the board better with him than they are without him. Let's talk about what life without him would actually look like. I think it's a huge mistake. I think that sometimes I'm one of like four people in Northern California who understand how important an offensive line is. The Niners continue to degrade the value of the offensive line. And to me, this would just be, this would be such a move in the wrong direction with no understudy ready to go. But I guess it's time for us to talk about what options would be.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not as tied to Trent Williams as I think you are. You know, what's interesting, I think though,
I'm tied to excellent tackle play. That's what I'm tied to. And he still provides it.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but he's not the only man in the world. You know what I mean? And he is 38. It's going to end at some point. I do think it's interesting, though. My man Raj over here, back-to-back tweets, okay? You just read the second one. Let's go up one more tweet, just the one he did literally. So that he put that out a half hour ago. He put this one out 23 minutes prior to that. Now, this, if you just read this, you're like, oh, Trent's coming back. This is Kyle Shanahan on Trent Williams from Jennifer Leachan. No updates from me. This is from Shanahan talking here. I actually stay pretty much out of that. I know John, meaning John Lynch, and everyone is working hard to do that. I believe we will get that done. We love Trent too much, and eventually that will work out. So if you just read the Shanahan Raj post at 53 minutes ago, you're like, you know what? Everything's hunky dory. Shanahan loves him. He, you know, and we know Shanahan loves him. Right. And he loves them, and it's going to get done. So if you just went about your business, you're like, hey, that's your last check-in on the Niners this morning. You're like, hey, Trent's coming back, only to read the Lock and Fora, which is 23 minutes later, saying, and let's go through this again, by the way, Damon. He says, I don't think anything happens unless the 49ers make a big move. Now, he's talking about a big move in what they're offering and, like, up their offer.
Right. I read that as a big financial commitment, not a trade.
Right. So the only question is, you know, we don't really. So is this person telling us that he's privy to the offers? I totally agree with his next line. Williams doesn't have much motivation to play for anything less than $33 million in cash he's set to earn. The Niners clearly aren't comfortable with that, hence the renegotiation talks. Williams is acutely aware there's a robust market for his services as a free agent or through trade. See, now that would be the line that I think I would like you and I to discuss.
Okay.
What is, you know, I mean, he is a 38-year-old offensive lineman who is the best tackle of his era, and he may be right there with Munoz and the greatest tackles that ever played. But he is 38. I definitely think his play slid a little bit last year. He doesn't typically play a full year any longer. He doesn't practice on Wednesdays. You didn't win a Super Bowl with him. And then there's that word robust trade market, which has me, and I'm sure other Niner fans, at least interested to know how that is being defined. Like, what do you think, Damon? Because we all know that there's a market for this guy. Even though he's 38, even though he may only have a year left, even though he only has 2 years left, whatever it is, there is a market. We know Kansas City's waiting to pay him. We know Houston's waiting to pay him. There's teams with cap room besides those teams that are waiting to pounce. I wouldn't be totally shocked if the Rams or Seahawks didn't try to sign him, or even Philly, somebody who really values offensive line play and would say, hey, wait a second, we get the best left tackle in the game for just cash. Let's do it.
I mean, isn't that a red flag right there? The teams you're chasing would die to sign this guy and you wouldn't. Like,
everybody's situation is different. The 49ers at this juncture have an old line that's not really playing that well. They have a bunch of needs, and they're trying to the 49ers are trying to do something that almost nobody else is trying to do. They're trying to pay their old veteran players and keep them all happy and on the team and rebuild through the draft while they're competing against in the best division in football with the Super Bowl champion and maybe the two best teams in the conference. So they're trying to do what is a very difficult thing to do. So they're just looking at all their options. I'm just not as negative on the trade idea for Trent because of the word robust.
What's the return? Yeah,
let's talk rubber meets the road here. Do you have a trade return that would make you say, you know what? I love Trent Williams, but goodbye.
Okay, so I was thinking about this. You're not getting a first rounder for a 38-year-old, period.
I would be very shocked if they were.
Okay, how about this? If they do, we can both drive into the airport, right?
Very robust. I don't know if there's a robust market for his services through trade.
Are teams bidding against each other to come get Trent Williams? Again, it depends.
Somebody threw out a phantom trade in one of the Niner Nation's chat rooms or whatever and said, you know, what? Either you get Trent signed or you send him to Kansas City for a second and a third. That's what I saw.
Okay, so if you can get a second and a third out of Kansas City, I guess we can talk about it. I guess we could. I mean, that'd be tough to look past. The way I'm seeing it is, number one, probably too wishful thinking. I think a second just on its own is probably a big ask. I would like to see the Niners get replenished in rounds where they do not have draft picks and they do not have a third round pick after trading it to Dallas. So I would be looking at bare minimum third round just to sit at the poker table and see if you're going to stick around to see the flop and who really gets Trent Williams. But that's the buy-in. A third round draft pick would be where any conversation would have to start. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I liked the idea that I had about 3-4 weeks ago, or somebody had and I agreed with, which was trade him to the Texans, an AFC team, for their current tackle, Arian Tyrsery. So you have a tackle, so you don't have to go tackle. Because the big problem with trading DeForest Buckner was not that they traded DeForest Buckner. It's that they demanded to themselves that they had to replace him with the pick that they got. And then they reached for Kinlaw. That was the bad call. If they had just gone with just a great player. So in this situation, if you could get like an Ursary and a second or an Ursary and a third, but I would try to get that second because I think in that second, Damon, that's where a lot of the offensive tackles or offensive guards who potentially, I think the guard market in that second round is going to be absolutely awesome. They need a starter, right? So you're not getting Iwane, but Emmanuel Pregnon, Chase Besantis, Jennings Dunker, Keelan Rutledge, they're all going to probably be there. They're all listed between 46 and 77. So that's firmly in, you know, the mid second round to the top of the third round. So yeah, if you could get a pick in there, if I could turn Trent Williams, just for the sake of conversation, because I really like Trent Williams, and obviously we know how great he is. But if I could turn Trent Williams, Damon, into Arian Tyrsery and a day two pick, I'm doing it. And then I'm turning around and I'm spending the Trent Williams money on a couple other areas. You know, now I can go sign Joey Bosa. Now I can maybe I could go sign Dallas Goedert, you know, as a tight end or you might be able to go buy a couple other pieces if you make this trade. So it's kind of a trade that you got to kind of see the impact of it financially even after you make it. But I would do that, Damon. If I could get a young tackle like Ursary, who's a replacement level player, plug him in and get a day two pick that I can turn into another player, I think it's the smarter play. I really do. And I understand Trent Williams is super unique, but I think now's the right time. I really do.
Arguing about a first round, let's just say we take the age off of him and say this is the best left tackle in football. The best left tackle in football can set you a first rounder, period. How about this, Larry? Because Lock and Ford. Yeah, exactly. That is sort of the deal breaker there. But Lock and
it's
Forest,
like Chris Paul for Jordan Poole, you know, it's like, well, I mean, you know, you're getting Chris Paul. He wasn't bad. It's just he was old.
Right.
Maybe
Lock and Forest says that Kansas City would be right at the front of the line to acquire Williams if he's on the block.
Right. Well, so like, let's test that.
Let's test that. How about 27 and Trent Williams
for nine?
For number nine.
What do you want then?
At number nine, you're looking. You're basically getting at number nine. You get whatever you want.
I mean,
at number nine, you're going to have at least legitimate Pro Bowl tackle options to choose from.
I'll give you the next five picks. I'll give you the picks. Here they are. Tankathon. Here's 9 through 15. Okay, so this is what you'd be choosing from: Caleb Downs, the unbelievable safety from Ohio State, which that might be. You know what? I've said it many times. The Niners need a great player. He's a great player. Mansoor Delane, cornerback LSU, 10. Carnell Tate, wide receiver Ohio State, 11. Dylan Thieneman, safety, Oregon, 12. Monroe Freeling, offensive tackle, Georgia, 13. Here's the other tough call, because you know who's 14 on this list. I mean, this would be a really tough call. Guess who's 14 on the list? Venga Iwane. So you could have the awesome guard. You could have the future tackle. 15 is Kenyon Sadiq. You could have the superstar tight end, who, by the way, I did a Kenyon Sadiq deep dive this weekend. I didn't realize that Kenyon Sadiq was such a destroyer in the run game. That guy is Vernon Davis. He's a lot like Vernon Davis. Mekhi Lemon at 16. So Mekhi Lemon, Kenyon Sadiq, Venga Iwane, Monroe Freeling, Dylan Thieneman, Carnell Tate, Mansoor Delane, and Caleb Downs. And Reuben Bain, but they say, is going 8. So let's just say Bain's gone. Otherwise, man, I might just take Bain right there. God, that would be amazing. But then, to me, it's really just a decision between your guy, Monroe Freeling, and Venga Iwane. And it's just a matter of, do you want the plug-and-play left guard who's going to be there for the next decade, or do you want the left tackle and get Monroe Freeling?
Are you talking out of Trent. Both sides of your own mouth, though, by trading Trent Williams to then draft a guard? I mean,
to me, Damon, once again, I don't play these games of, like, you know, positions. I mean, like, are you making a mistake if you – if you have the best running back? Well, I mean, this is the debate that's going to happen early in this draft with Jeremiah Love. And it's like, what, do you really want to take a running back 4th overall? Well, I get it. I don't think I would take a running back 4th overall, but I understand why they think Love is special. I think the Niners, more than any, and I've said this to you a bunch,
I never really understood the whole let's devalue the running back and avoid running backs in first round philosophy. I know it's a volatile position. I know you can get hurt there faster than most other places on the field, but holy shit, it's about as important of a position during a football game as you can find.
Well, see Todd Gurley. You know, Todd Gurley was on top of the football world, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and he was probably the last high pick. Actually, Ashton Jeanty last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, I mean, I think if you have a team that's ready to roll and you draft a running back, like if you're one of these teams like Philly or I don't know, whatever, you're one of the 5 contenders and you draft a star running back, I think it's smart. But if you have like 3 years to build, you know, I don't think it's smart.
I would agree with that. The running back is the ultimate perfect cake topper. You know, just boop. Now your birthday cake is perfect. Right. When you get,
like, if you had given Jeanty to the, you know, to a great team last year, he probably could have impacted the playoff race, but instead he went to the Raiders behind a bad line. They're in development. The whole thing was muted.
Just to get back to this, I would like a little bit more context here. And I don't know if this is just Locke and Fora talking or he knows something. I don't know. But the sentence that kind of jumps out is the 49ers clearly aren't comfortable with that. What, paying a tackle $30 million?
Paying 38-year-old tackle. But well,
so Larry, I mean, we're about to have every single starting left tackle in football is a $30 million position. That we are 2 to 3 seasons away from 32 left tackles making at least $30 million. We really are. That is going to be the standard operational price. Look at what happened today. And I know they're not directly correlated, but when cap and markets get reset like this, you know, a market getting reset at one position doesn't just reset the market for that one position. It kind of makes everyone reconsider worth across the board. Jaxon Smith-Njigba this morning, Larry's 4 years, $168.6 million. The average of the deal is 42.1. But we're going to have a wide receiver making $42 million on average. That's
well, this kind of feeds into
5 years ago, the $20 million wide receiver was giving everybody sticker shock. In half a decade, we've doubled that.
Well, I mean, forget the contract for a second, because the money always just goes up. And just talk about JSN being in Seattle.
Well, he's special.
Yeah. Not only is he special, so's Puka. And they're both in the division. And they're just getting going. These guys' careers are just beginning. So, in my opinion, this is why I would move Trent Williams. Now, people go, what? I don't understand. Explain this to me. Well, I just really think that this is the right time. At 20, then I think you would play the draft this way. At 27, according to Tankathon, you're going to choose, as far as offensive tackles, between the two guys that I think a lot of people at this point think they're going to choose between. Blake Miller from Clemson, four-year starter. He's a right tackle, though. So is he going to play right tackle and McKivitz is going to move to left tackle? Or you could go with Max Iannacher from Arizona State, who probably also has some right tackle, but he's got unbelievable left tackle ability. Or you could, you know, go a different position. But my point would be this. I think I would, if I made this deal and I got, you know, Arianti Urusiri and a second-round pick, okay, I think I would probably wind up taking that Iannacher at 27, probably. And then, you know, I've got Urusiri and Iannacher. Now I've added two young players to my offensive line. Okay. And then I think with that second round pick that I got extra for moving Trent Williams, like Kansas City picks in the second round, they pick 40th overall. They're like eight picks into the second round. Let's say they went for him, or Houston, who picks 38th overall, because I think those are the two teams. Pittsburgh also, they say, could be interested. But let's just say the Niners could get pick 38 or pick 40 from either Houston or Kansas City. You just said it. JSN's in the division. I did a deep dive this weekend on D'Angelo Pons and Keontae Scott. And you know what? Those are two of the best players in this draft. And to me, D'Angelo Pons is, I understand he's 5'8", but that's like saying, do you want to get rid of Upton Stout right now? He's only 5'8". No, of course I don't. He's great. I want to keep him. And D'Angelo Pons is even better than Upton Stout. So that's what I would do. That's what I would do. I would trade Trent Williams, and I would get that replacement, you know, tackle, hopefully in the trade, and then maybe draft another tackle in the first round to replace Trent. And then get that high second round pick. You have 2 seconds then. You come back in that second round for D'Angelo Pons. Now you've got a younger offensive line that's cheaper. You can take that money and go spend it on Joey Bosa. And you've added Pons on the back end in a division that has Puka and JSN. I personally think that's a better plan.
I think you got a good idea. I think you got a pretty good plan. But the whole thing to me sounds like plan B. To me, plan A is just bring back Trent Williams. I would just bring back Trent Williams. I mean, yeah, a lot of things could happen there. A lot of things could happen. And getting rid of a guy a year too early, then a year too late, like I get it all. And if you're signing up Trent for this, you're signing him up for next year too. And then he's probably going to turn around if he has a really good year this year and do the same freaking hold out. I'm not playing without guaranteed money going forward because I think I have 3 years now left in my career. Like the headaches with Trent probably never end. From a negotiating standpoint, I mean, he is clearly, you know, giving no hometown discounts to the San Francisco 49ers. We've seen that like three times now.
And the deal's getting worse every year. His play is getting worse. He's not getting healthier. His price tag is exorbitant. At some point, you're going to have to, you know, that's the thing. It's like, do you keep going down this road with Kittle and CMC and Greenlaw and Fred? You know, I understand why they like their guys, but you gotta, I mean, the Bill Walsh, a year too soon, not a year too late. I mean, you know, he told Randy Cross, hey, you got three more years left, but, you know, probably only one or two will be here, you know? And it's like, I'm not saying that they have to move Trent Williams. I just think that when you look at where they're at on the cap, you look at where their roster's at, I think this, if there is indeed a robust market, and that would probably mean a day two pick and a player. If there's a day two pick and a player deal out there, I'll say this, Damon, the other thing is Trent Williams, very, very powerful, right? Very powerful presence. And the way the Niners structured this, where the new deadline is the draft, I think it sets up for them to say goodbye to Trent and replace Trent all in the same like moment. I think they're gonna trade him and replace him
If you're telling me that they can thread this needle perfectly, God bless, do that, you know? But I don't give that much carte blanche trust at this particular time to John Lynch and his selections really at anywhere in the draft. I mean, I hope he gets it right this year. I really, really do. I think this year for Lynch, what he does in terms of undrafted free agents is going to be the most important. It's going to be the most important undrafted free agent draft class John Lynch will ever probably have to consider as 49ers general manager, given their lack of picks and urgent needs in places where they're going to have to find players. And unfortunately, you know, like, yeah, we could do an undrafted free agent conversation that probably is completely disposable even after they've drafted those guys, because they hardly make an impact. And we'll get into just last year in just a second. But to wrap up kind of where we are on Trent Williams, lots of good ideas here. To me, there's just the easiest thing to do. It's only money, re-sign him. But in terms of overall team building and threading needles and all that stuff, I get what you're saying. The report is in the sporting news, the Chicago Bears, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Steelers are probably your first three batters up for Trent Williams. If I'm Trent Williams, I would want to go to Chicago. I would want to play for an ascending team. I don't think you can make the argument that the Chiefs are ascending, and I don't think you can even make the argument with Trent Williams the Steelers are going to be in the playoffs next year. So if I am Trent Williams, I would want to go to Chicago. So maybe that is the place that John Lynch should start working the phones there.
There, Chicago's starting left tackle right now is a guy named Theo Benedet. Because Ozzie Trapio, the Boston College rookie who they took in the second round last year, got hurt.
A tendon injury in the playoffs, and he's probably out the majority this upcoming year. You're going to have somebody to improve Caleb's blind side.
They also have a couple young tackles that they could throw you back. Like, you know, Darnell Wright's their starter on the right side, but they also drafted Braxton Jones in the fifth round in 2022. And then they drafted that kid out of Yale that they want to quit on, Karan Amagaji.
Braxton Jones has been a little bit of a, you know, they love talking about him on Chicago sports radio.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's an offensive lineman that struggled so far. But, I mean, they have Tooney at left guard, Bradbury at center, Jonah Jackson at right guard, and Darnell Wright at right tackle. So, yeah, you could make an argument that the Bears, you know, last frontier on offense, right? Because they got good running backs. They got Caleb. They got Loveland. They got a bunch of rookie receivers. I mean, young receivers, Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, that Jadai Walker. They love their receivers. Yeah, they may look at Trent Williams as the final piece to their puzzle. And if they were willing to give you maybe those two young offensive linemen and a day two pick, maybe you'd do it. Maybe you'd do it. So, I mean, I think you got to be open-minded if you're the 49ers. I really do. I think this is the right time to listen.
Fluid. Remain fluid. And I see here, you know, Miklo says Trent is about his money. I don't begrudge him that. I don't begrudge anybody in this league being about their money. and especially a guy like Trent, who's got, you know, one, two, three tops bites at the apple left in his career to really, you know, shovel it in the vault. I can't begrudge him. Can't begrudge him.
Well, I mean, yeah, seriously. I mean, so the NFL teams have the upper hand on their players financially. Of 53 guys on the roster, probably like 51 of them, they have the upper hand on. This is one of two guys on the roster. This guy and Purdy, they don't have the upper hand on. That's it. That's basically it. So it's like, instead, the fans, you know, it sounds like, are pushing back on Trent, trying to paint Trent as selfish. There's only so long in the NFL to make your money, and you got to go make it when you can. So I don't begrudge him anything, but I also don't feel like he's the last tackle in football. And I think there has been some regression, and I think it's also time for them to build, you know, lines take time to come together, right? The cohesion takes time to build. Go build what the Eagles had around Jalen Hurts. Build that around Brock Purdy. Do you want to win the Super Bowl? If so, you've got the quarterback. You've got some weapons. You've got a couple key players. Now go build that fortress around him. Get that new fortress around him that's going to be his protectors going forward, and get down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my only, like, you know, taking a big step back from any single transaction and looking at the entire, all right, here are our plans. This is how we're building our team. I would go back to, you know, 2024 when we're talking about what are you going to pay Brock? And I would have been looking at all of this right then. So you were about to have a kick-in $50 million a year quarterback, and that's the year you're thinking about maybe walking away from Trent Williams, and you don't have his understudy already on the team. You don't have a real replacement ready to go. You've kind of just like meandered into Brendel and decided to just hang out there forever. Like, it's just, where was this thought 3 years ago to make sure that you didn't reach this moment?
Well, it's just, it's like anything else. It's like, we all have things we want to buy, but then there's things that we need to buy. And in the Niners world, they need to buy D-line before they need to buy O-line. And so they never get, and if you, I mean, it's just like, it's no different. If you have these philosophies, you know what? We go D-line over O-line. Okay, there's one philosophy. You can never have enough D-linemen. Okay, there's another philosophy. How do you ever improve your offensive line if the D-line gets in front, you know, the D-line needs are fed in front of the O-line needs, and the D-line can never be deep enough? I mean, it's kind of the same problem the San Francisco Giants have had with offense until Buster took over. It's like, you know what? We don't draft hitters. We draft nothing but college pitchers. And so we don't draft. And we have a philosophy that we're going to build around our internal pitching. And then we're going to trade.
We're going to have a fielder every year.
Yeah, we're going to trade off that surplus for the hitting that we need. But then we also believe that you can never have enough pitching. So we never actually make those trades to get those hitters until the Devers trade, until Buster took over. Now we're starting to see some hitters. But it's the same thing with the Niners. It's like, you can sit there and say, we're going D-line over O-line. Solomon Thomas. Oh, that didn't work? Okay, now we got to double down. Javon Kinlaw. Oh, wait, that didn't work? Now we got to double down. Drake Jackson. Oh, that didn't work? Now we need to double down. Mikel Williams. And so what happens is,
we didn't love Jimmy Garoppolo. We didn't love Jimmy Garoppolo, so we're going to double down. We're going to triple down, as a matter of fact, on drafting an early quarterback. Yeah, and
if you
want to talk about the moment where it all went wrong, I hate to put it all on that one decision.
Trey Lance.
Oh, God, the devastating, Larry. It'll be our grandchildren who look back on it one day and be like, oh, that's why they didn't win the Super Bowl. Like, it looks worse the further you get away with it, not better. It was a bad moment in time.
I mean, just an odd pick to make.
Yeah.
When you're going to be, you know, it was almost like they thought of themselves. And, you know, they were thinking of themselves and how they would look and what their plan was, and not about, like, in the present and what they like right now. They were thinking about, like, the future and, like, what do we want in the future? And they were thinking about traits. And guess what? You don't draft traits. You draft players. And they drafted traits. And when you draft traits, you either wind up with an amazing pick or a bust.
I think what happened more than anything is that the Niners, more than any other team in football, got wrapped up in chasing Patrick Mahomes' ghost. I think they had Patrick Mahomes derangement syndrome, and it made Kyle rethink what he thought were the essential quarterback traits needed for his offense. I don't really need the experienced, seen it all at the highest level, playing against SEC defenses, national championship efficient passer. What I need is a barrel-chested athlete who could just run through everything and Superman himself into all situations. And I just think they lost the plot a little bit. And every single team in football sort of got, you know, they're, oh, well, so you can draft a quarterback who is instantly the best quarterback in football. Well, we need one of those.
The Niners' history is about their lack of conviction at the quarterback spot since the Steve Young trade. I mean, Bill Walsh had conviction. His conviction brought Joe Montana and Steve Young in a trade and eventually Jeff Garcia in a signing.
And then they
lost their conviction. They didn't see Tom Brady at their own local pro day because they were looking for a mobile athlete. And so they centered on Gio Carmazzi. They didn't see Aaron Rodgers because they were looking, because Aaron Rodgers was 6'2", and they looked at Alex Smith as 6'4" and smart and athletic, and they looked at the higher upside. They lacked conviction. They didn't have conviction. They believed that Rodgers was better, but then they also didn't have any conviction about it. And then it's just, that's the way it's gone. I mean, they didn't have any conviction on Mac Jones. Shanahan wanted Mac Jones. And I think the rest of the people in that building told him, no, let's go with somebody else who has a little bit more upside, a little bit more athleticism. You know, there were a lot of people bringing race into it back then as well. And I just think that Shanahan got pushed off of his pick. And I bet you it gave him greater job security.
He got lost in the fog of war, Larry. He really did. He got lost in the fog of war there, thinking about what he needed, what he wanted, the trends of the league. He's wanting to get in front of league trends, and this quarterback will allow me to do that. And
They got what they wanted. They wanted next level movement ability. They got that in Brock Purdy. They wanted a guy who could process and have that next level movement ability. And they got that, all of it, in Brock Purdy. They just didn't get any of it in Trey Lance.
He saved everybody's job. He really did.
They could have, I mean, heck, they could have stayed where they were at 13 and just picked Mac Jones, who went 15, saved all those picks. I mean, that would have been something. Or heck, if they had traded up and they had conviction on other guys, they could have taken Jamar Chase. I mean, if you're going to trade up for somebody, I saw a list. In fact, I have it in front of me. This is the list of players that the 49ers have traded up for under Kyle Shanahan. And it is embarrassing list.
It's not going to be good.
I mean, here it is. It's unbelievable. When you hear this, these names, you're going to be like, what? They traded up for every single one of these guys. So trade ups mean that you have like some kind of conviction that these are going to be the right players for right. You.
That's somebody pounding the table in the war room. Go get him.
Go get him. I need him for my offense.
Where is your list, Larry?
I think.
How about this? While you're looking for that list, you want me to give you an even worse list? Well, these aren't worse because these are undrafted guys. But just last year. Here's your 2025 undrafted free agent class by your San Francisco 49ers. Running back Corey Kiner, never played. Cornerback Jacob Robinson, never played. Defensive lineman.
He's still on the team. He's going to play.
He's still on the team, though, but he hasn't played yet. Defensive lineman Sebastian Valdez, still on the team, but hasn't played. And I think that was a mistake. He should have gotten reps last year. Wide receiver Isaiah Neyor, Nebraska, never played. Linebacker Stone Blanton, Mississippi State, never played. Offensive lineman Drew Moss, he did appear in 5 games, but they've already moved on from him. He's not even on the team anymore, I don't believe. So, you know, they have to do much better in terms of undrafted free agent this year.
Stop sitting it out. I mean, my God, they've been sitting it out. And that is just an embarrassment. They cannot be sitting it out. There's no reason at all. Here we go. Here's the list.
Did you find your list? Here we go.
Joe Williams, C.J. Beathard, Reuben Foster, Dante Pettis, Tarvarius Moore, Julian Taylor, Dre Greenlaw, Brandon Ayuk, Charlie Warner, Trey Sermon, Trey Lance, Jair Brown, Dom Pooney, Isaac Arendo, Marquis Siegel. I mean, that list should be, that list should be like 90% hits. If you're trading up, that means you believe you have this conviction in the player. And you have conviction. You had conviction in Julian Taylor, in Tarvarius Moore. You had conviction in Dante Pettis. Awful. These are awful players. So, I mean, Dante Pettis, I could have told you, Dante Pettis didn't do anything well. Nothing. He wasn't fast. He wasn't tough. He didn't get off the line of scrimmage. He didn't have consistent hands. It's like,
as soon as he showed up with purple hair saying, "I like cats," you knew it was going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's,
you can eat dogs, not cats, Larry. Yeah, dogs.
And, you know, I mean, come on. Come on. So they just need to not, they need to do something different. No, they really do. They just need to do something different.
By the way, I know we got some supers here. I'm on a little bit of a tight leash today. I got an out time here, Larry. Can I give you, you know, every weekend I like pick a position group and I start just going down the rabbit hole of, my group this weekend was safeties. Okay. I found my safety crush. And in the second round, it could be a reach. If he's there in the fourth round, it could be the steal of the entire draft. TCU safety, Bud Clark. Check this guy out, dude. Bud Clark, he ran a 4.41, 9-inch hands, 38-inch vert, good tackler, just disruptor extraordinaire, 4 interceptions, had a great Senior Bowl. Like, this guy, that's a player you want on your football team. I like Bud Clark. Very simple name. Very good player.
Yeah, I mean, he leads all safeties in the last 4 years in interceptions. He's got 15 interceptions in the last 4 years. His coverage at the Senior Bowl was blanketed. He was all over guys. I don't know that he's the best athlete of the group, but he is a tremendous football player.
I like him.
A lot of people like him. I mean, I would say he's definitely in the top 100. He's not the biggest, most physical hitter. He's more of a coverage player, but the coverage is really, really tight. And in a lot of ways, I think Bud Clark would be a perfect safety for the Niners. Why? Because they lack the coverage. They're not close enough in coverage. I kind of like, it's funny, I wasn't sure who you were going to say. I love this Miles Rouser on day 3 from ASU. He's really something. Also, kind of, you got to keep track of all these things. One of the guys who I really like opted to retire this weekend. I couldn't believe it. Jalon Catalon, who played at UNLV and then finished up this year for Missouri, he announced today at Missouri's Pro Day he's retiring from football.
Well, here's the thing: are you retiring from football? If you've never played football professionally, can you retire from it?
Yeah, because he's basically saying he's taking his name out of the draft.
Yeah.
But yeah, my favorite guys, I like Miles Rouser on day 3. I really like both Jalon Kilgore from South Carolina.
I like that guy too.
VJ Payne from K-State, big jumbo safety. Those are the two guys. And then I love your guy, Bud Clark. AJ Halsey from LSU is one of my favorites. Emmanuel McNeil Warren. Is one of my favorites. Obviously, Caleb Downs would be my favorite safety in the draft.
By the way, it's a draft topic that we didn't get to on Friday. Did you see the Cleveland Browns proposal that the NFL, I guess, is going to consider at their next owners meeting? Is they want to be able to trade draft picks 5 years into the future. And their argument was like, in the NBA, you can trade up to 7 years into the future. Why are we hand-tying ourselves by only allowing 3 years forward? And my argument would be, well, because 3 years in the NFL is like 8 years in any other league. That's how volatile it is. And I would also say, of course, the Cleveland Browns are the drunk in the casino losing everything, asking for more credit. Like, of course they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's they're trying to protect the franchises from the caretakers that don't take care. You know, that's really what they're trying to do. They're just trying to protect. You know, they know that the average lifespan of a general manager or a head coach is 5 years or less. And so they don't want you to be able to make decisions that impact the franchise 10 years into the future. You know what? That's the thing. What if all of a sudden, you know, Joe Thomas screwed up the Niners at the beginning of the DeBartolo regime? But what if he had screwed them up by trading their picks for the next decade? He could have set them back. Just one bad hire could have set them back, you know, by years and years and years. And that's not good. I mean, it's really not good if you have any significant number of teams that really are not contending or not trying to contend because they're so mismanaged that they're
just straight up incompetence. You know, I mean,
and do that. I mean, I would push back against that and say, no, yeah. Don't allow this because otherwise what's going to happen is you're going to have all that you're going to have is you're going to have more wild trades and you're going to have more dysfunction. And then what's going to create, if you like parity, this is not for you. And you're going to have less parity and more teams at the top for a long time and more teams on the bottom for a long time. And that's not good. Cause then what happens is fans go away. This, sir?
You don't even get to suggest new rules. If you're a loser franchise, if you haven't had more than five winning seasons over the course of any decade in the last four decades, you just shut up when you're at the table. You don't get to, you don't, it, here's it. It's like asking the skinniest person in the room to order lunch. What does this person know about ordering lunch? Come on. Speaking of which, go to Ike's, everyone. Get yourself a sandwich at Ike's, if you would, please. He's got a second sandwich sale coming up on Thursday, which is going to be his birthday. A second sandwich is $4.80 at Ike's coming up this Thursday on his birthday. So check that out, and hopefully there's an Ike's near you. Speaking of lunch, Larry, you got any ideas?
Yeah, thanks to Pig and a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're opening this year in Petaluma. Go say hi to Damon and Mary, get some brisket chili, tell them that Krug sent you. Also, thank you to Novato Chevrolet. The only Chevrolet dealership I will shop from is Novato Chevrolet, Bay Area EV headquarters, over $3 million in used cars, 100% hundreds in inventory, all makes, all models, great dealership.
Did you get a new car, Larry? Did you get a new car?
Did not get a new car, but got a new sponsor, Novato Chevrolet. And also thank you to Habas Law. Habas Law is going to be paying for pet adoptions on Saturday at the San Jose Animal Care Center. Thank you, Omar and Tarek Habas. Every cat, every dog, every bunny, everybody, you just show up with a great attitude at the San Jose Animal Care Center between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Saturday. It's at 2750 Monterey Road.
They're moving bunnies at Habas Law.
Habas Law. Thank you to Habas Law. And also thank you to Alomar Marina, alomarmarina.net on the web. They're open Wednesday through Sunday. Go float on the Sacramento River as you dine. Try the shrimp tacos. I had the burger last time I was there. Awesome spot. alomarmarina.net on the web. Check them out. You'll love it. Try it. You'll be a fan for life. And there are links to the in the description to all of our sponsors. Let's hit some supers, and we will bolt for the door. We do have six supers here. Clarence Pinks in the house. Open those mother-loving ears, Niners Nation. All right.
And thank you for being a member now for 2 years there, Clarence. That gets an applause.
Clarence Beaks, there you go. Fuji Simeon, Najigba got mega deal. Does Puka get the same or more? Less.
Yeah, he's going to come in less. I mean, so we're talking, you know, 42.15 million. But if I'm Puka, I'm asking for 38.
Yeah, yeah. This is a great one here from Joseph Ernberg, who switched gyms on me. He says, I want an all Indiana draft. Great show, guys. Seriously, I would be okay with Pons in round one or round two on a trade back. I'd be okay with Kalon Black in like the fourth round. I'd be okay with Mikhail Kamara in the you know, day three,
it'd be rusher. Okay. You'd be jumping up and down. You get Mikel Kamara in day three.
I love all these guys. I mean, Black, and then I would be okay with Coogan as an undrafted guy and just bring him in. I bet you anything that Pat Coogan as an undrafted player would show up in the Niner camp and take Jake Brendel's gig.
He might. He certainly might. Larry, let me just, that's a Rose Bowl MVP, Pat Coogan, by the way. That's how good he anchored that offensive line in front of Alabama's defensive line. Let me ask you this. What is the over-under on Indiana players drafted to the 49ers this year that gets you to sing the fight song with me?
I'll say if they draft two Indiana guys, I'll do it.
Okay, I'll get you the
Pons,
lyric.
Pons, Black, Kamara, Coogan, Cooper. I love all those guys.
Did you see that CJ Concepcion came in for a 30?
I did, and I like him.
KC
Concepcion. Yeah, and he's a great runner. James Foster says COVID pandemic impacted Trey Lance pick.
No doubt. It screwed up everybody's evaluation.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Bill Parcells said it. The line that cuts off is like 25 games. You got to have at least 25 games of college experience. Otherwise, you're not worth drafting. It's kind of like Ty Simpson this year. Everybody's talking about Ty Simpson's great. He has barely played. He's barely played. So, I mean, where you make mistakes are quarterbacks that played 1 year. See Trey Lance, see Mitch Trubisky, see others. Carson Taylor, our wide receivers feel so nimble. Mike Evans, Kirk, Ricky all get hurt. Our O-line is booty cheeks. We have XFL-level guys playing safety. Cornerbacks are still slow. How have we gotten better? Can we even fucking trade Mac? Okay, let's go through this. You want to trade Mac Jones? I mean, I would keep Mac Jones if nobody wants him. I mean, why? What's the big deal? Just keep him. He's good. I mean, you got two quarterbacks you can win with. As far as the wide receivers, I think the wide receiver group's pretty good.
You know, here's the thing. If healthy is the phrase that you can put in front of every NFL player. It's just all of them. If healthy, this guy could really work. And if hurt, it ain't going to work. That's pretty standard across the board now, drafting and signing guys with injury pasts and histories. It's always a gamble. But when not hurt, Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Fame wide receiver. And
he was. I don't know if he still is. We're going to find out. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's 32 years old. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I think they got better. I think they absolutely got better.
Now, I think you're the same if you move on from Trent Williams until you can prove to me proof of concept that, you know, you got a player to play for him. It can't be Austin Pleasance. I'm not comfortable with that.
Though, you know what? Pleasance did play well. I mean, he did play well.
Against the Garrett, and they had a week to scout him, and he got cooked in that Seattle. Well, Seattle's defensive line destroyed everything in front of it, so maybe it wasn't him.
Pleasance played pretty decent ball. Fuji Simeon says, season starts Wednesday. How should Giants fans feel? They should feel excited to watch a more dynamic lineup every day. I mean, the lineups that Farhan Zaidi was putting out there were fucking boring. Yeah. This lineup has actually got some major leaguers. But they should also, I would say, pump the brakes because the Giants definitely, without a doubt, are too thin on the mound, both in the bullpen and in the rotation.
That Wizen
they
Hunt,
will.
Wasn't he getting teed up in spring training, and now he's off to Tommy John? So there you go. That explains
no,
it.
Not Wizen Hunt. Birdsong.
Birdsong. Hayden Birdsong. Sorry.
Yeah. Birdsong.
Yeah. And I'm not even in baseball mode. I'm watching Bud Black safety porn. Not Bud Black.
What?
Excuse me. Bud Clark.
Yeah.
I'm always Bud Clark. I'm stuck somewhere in between football and baseball.
I would say, the Giants, I think, are going to be fun to watch. But they also, the thing about the Giants that's so interesting, I think, is that they're so rich that they can do and they can make their reality anything they want to be their reality. They can trade for any player they want. They can sign any player they want because they have the money and they have the deep pockets. They have a rich ownership group. It's just a matter of conviction. What does Buster want to do? And that so on and so forth. So the Giants are a weird team because
they got the theater, right? Didn't they buy a theater?
But I would not feel comfortable betting the Giants over or under the Vegas total. Why? Because they look like an underplay. The Vegas over under is 80.5. So all they need to do to go over is finish exactly 500. And I don't think they will with the current team, but they have so much money that they can buy whatever they need in the middle of the year, either in a trade or some kind of a pseudo trade. So, I mean, it's like if what they have right now, they're going to be under 500, but they have enough assets and there's motivation. I think they hang around and make a deal or two and probably finish, I'll say 83-78.
Something. Here's the thing. I think they're going to be a better San Francisco Giants team, but they're not better than the Dodgers. They're not better than the Padres. And I don't think they're better than the Diamondbacks either. So
we'll see. And I think that's probably right. I think they're probably the fourth best team in the division. Fuji, any plans for future bottom of the pint games? No plans for that yet, but you know what? Plans can be made, you know, and I definitely am going to do some bottom of the pint, because I like the concept of drinking while watching baseball. But the Giants have to you know, contribute some offense. We were going to do slamming beers every time they hit a home run, and then they got shut out 3 games in a row.
Exactly. Yeah, you finished the bottom of the pint show sober.
Yeah, exactly. Big Tone, Chris Johnson over Ponds, San Diego State. Yeah, I do love Chris Johnson.
Bigger guy.
Awesome tester. I kind of agree with you, but I love Ponds. And Ponds, I think, is really special. Fuji says, my audio cut out. All I heard was Damon and Black.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about
Kalon Black?
The safety, Bud Clark, but I called him Bud Black, and I said I was watching safety porn. So you heard Black porn, which, you know, whatever floats your boat.
Jesus. That was the last one. On that note, we'll call it.
Everybody. We'll see you again on Friday. Larry, let me know if you want to do a little Niners Nightly this week. We'll try to fit it in the schedule, brother. But
definitely. We'll do some Niners Nightly. I'm filling in on the radio on Tuesday and Friday, so maybe either tonight, Wednesday, or
can't do it tonight, Thursday. Maybe. Well, Wednesday's my birthday, so I'm probably not going to be. I'm going to be unavailable for you on Wednesday, but maybe Thursday.
I'll send you a text. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle. Thanks to all the sponsors. The links are in the description for all of our sponsors. Damon, I'll give you the final word.
That's it. Hey, you know, trade Trent Williams at your own risk. But if you are going to do it, you should get a return that makes people feel pretty good about it. But I'm going to war with Trent Williams before I'd go to war without him in 2026. I know that this eats more space up in other years. I'm not worried about other years. I'm worried about 2026. I would come back with the best left tackle when you got a quarterback making 50 mil. Offensive line matters. There you go.
There you go. And we'll leave you with this RSF 49ers. Raj has just put this out. Texas Tech pass rusher Romello Height has a top 30 visit scheduled for the Niners.
All right.
Coming up. He's a undersized edge rusher. All right, that's going to do it for us. Have a great day, everybody. Go Niners. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.